Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon, your host for Favor Life, where we walk through the process of DARE. Thank you so much for joining me. I love the process of DARE because it's a place that God has called us to, a place that we did not call ourselves, but He's called us by His will, His word, His purpose, His salvation. And He takes us to a process where we can't pick ourselves, speaking a word that is greater than us, but He commands the authority in the life of His word to perform in us exceedingly abundantly far above what we ask, think, or imagine as He transforms us as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of who He is, as we digest the word and we believe it and we receive it. We see God demonstrate His power in our life as we obey and trust Him. So the process of there is a faith walk. And He uses our everyday life, our everyday situations on the job, with our families, and our marriages, our home, our children, our finances, everything that we face as we take the word and we apply the word and we walk by faith and not by sight. He calls us to a place where we are being refined and reproven, and He makes us a blessing to not only ourselves but nations. So this is a place where God demonstrates His power and His love for us in a great way. We've been looking at different individuals in the Bible, not seeing them as a super spiritual human Christian, but everyday people like ourselves, unlikely folks that God has called for His purpose and His plan to do something extraordinary in their lives. And we look at them seeing their walk, their decisions, their going, their coming. We look at them seeing that they've made not always best choices, but the word of God is spoken concerning them does not fail, because God looks beyond their faults and He supplies the need, knowing that what He's called them to and what He's called them to through His love is going to be greater than the place of their failure. And that is the place where the love of God comes in and covers the multitude of sins, and He comes in and reassures. So we're looking in the book of Exodus, and we're going to look at the Israelites and the life of Moses, and we're going to grab nuggets of empowerment for our own lives. As we look, we spoke and said that the book of Exodus is says many things and represents many things that we're not going to get into today, but we're going to look and we're going to see here that it's a place of exiting. God has called and will call something to die in your life, or in your life that has come after you or has haunted you. And we see this in Exodus 2, verse 22, 23, where it says, many years later, the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Their cries from release from the hard labor ascended to God. Now, God allowed while Moses was on the back side of the mountain, while he was in this hidden place, God allowed something to die that was haunting him, that was after him, the desire to take his life. While you're in your wait, while you're in your process, while God has you on the back side of the mountain, while God has you in a hidden place, He will allow things that the enemy would try to use against you to die. He will make them have a death, a funeral, and that is some things in the spirit realm, some things that have gone after us, some things that we can't control, that is trying to bring terror to us or fear to us or haunt us. God will command that thing of our past to die, to no longer have power, to no longer have authority, to no longer be a threat to us. So He's making sure that even the things of our past that the enemy would try to use as an open door to come against us, He's allowing those things to die, and that for us to walk in the place where we're going to see the manifestation of His power. So there are things that we worry about that God says, fear not, I'm with you, I got this. I'm not going to let the enemy overtake you. I'm not going to let him destroy the purpose that I have for you. I've already made a way for your escape, and I'm going to make sure that anything that will try to exalt itself above the word, the knowledge of what I've spoken concerning you, will be killed in the spirit or even in the natural. God says, I'll make sure that you become and do all that I've spoken. Now, he's not going to take every enemy away. But those that would try to come in and threaten the place of fulfillment, God will take care of that. He will handle that, and he'll do it in his timing, and he'll do it the way that he will always do it, which is perfect. And all we have to do is trust him. We see here the children of Israel cried out to God, and the word of God lets us know that their cry went and ascended to the ears of God. Now, before this, they had not heard a word from God. They had not heard him speak. They had not heard him promise a day of release. The only thing that they had was the word that had been echoed through the years from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that was the thing that they held on to, that God had promised their forefathers that they were going to be delivered, that God had promised their forefathers that he was going to bless them and he was going to take them into a place of promise. So that was the thing that they held on to. But we see here that the word lets us know that God remembered, even though God hadn't spoken to them, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This reassures us and lets us know that when we're in a place where it looks like God is not speaking and we have not heard from God, and even though we have the written word and we remember and we rehearse what God is telling us and he's not saying anything, God will remember the covenant that he's made with us. God will watch over the word that he's spoken concerning us. God will make sure that that word is performed in our lives, and we don't have to worry about if and when he's going to do it. When the set time has come, God will make sure that there is a fulfillment of all that he says. And while he is getting you ready and prepared, he's preparing other things that you know not of. He's making sure everything falls and moves according to his plan and his purpose. There are things that you don't know that God is setting up on your behalf, people that he's getting ready, people that you have to meet, or people that have to bless you, or people that you have to give a word of knowledge to or pray for or have to come into your life, people that you have to, your crosses, your paths have to cross because there's something that God has intentionally purposed that must be fulfilled. So sometimes when we don't think that God is moving, he's setting up things that we don't even know. He's making sure that even the enemies that need to be there are in place. He's making sure that the circumstance and the times all flow together according to his will. He's making sure that every blessing, everything is set up according to his time, that nothing moves ahead of what he's already purposed. So don't get anxious. God remembers the covenant. So he's going to remember what he's spoken concerning you. God saw what was going on with the Israelites, is what it says. And that lets you know that God sees what's going on with you. He came down to observe. He came down personally to see their situation. He came down to understand the cry of what they were feeling, the anguish of what they were feeling, had went up and ascended to him. And the Bible lets us know that he's touched by the feelings of our infirmity and how he is touched through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is identified with us in the flesh, and he's able to take to the Father and present to the Father the way we feel, the way we hurt and we have pain. He's able to relate it to the Father because the Father is not able to be touched with weakness because he's strong, he's mighty, he's all-powerful. So how he relates to us, our infirmities, our weakness, is through Jesus Christ. So God was able to identify with what they were going through, even though Jesus had not yet come. The Bible lets us know in the mind of God, in the book of Isaiah, he was already crucified. So the pain and the anguish of what he would already feel, already go through, already suffered, God was still able to identify with. That's why he was able to look at the children of Israel and look at the world and be able to give them the mercy and the grace that was needed, because he already saw Christ crucified before the foundation of the world. So he already saw us, and the redemption in his mind was already there. So his love was able to cover even in their wrong, the multitudes of his sins. How do we know this? Because David speaks of a New Testament covenant and an Old Testament scripture when he says, blessed is the man whose sins, whose iniquities are forgiven. He understood that God alone was able to bless someone and forgive someone and cover their sins. He was walking in a principle that had not yet come, but he knew was coming through Jesus Christ. So God was able to give the children of Israel what they needed because he had already solved their situation before anything ever happened, before time ever began, before the foundations of the world, and he had already made a way for their escape. So he came down personally to see their situation, and that's what you have to understand. God is going to look at your situation personally, and he's going to be able to solve your problem. He's going to be able to come down, and he's going to minister to the place of your hurt, to your pain, and be a deliverer unto you. God tells Moses all that was going to take place. God lets Moses tell Aaron, and Moses and Aaron tell the leaders of Israel, the elders, all that God had spoken and all that God was going to do before they go to see Pharaoh. And this is in Exodus 3, 9 through 22. We see that they already knew. They were already prepped on the things that God had said and the things that God was going to promise and how he was going to move. But yet when it came to the place where that word, that deliverance was tried by the enemy, they began to do something that showed that they were not convinced that God had sent him fully. They began to want to stone Moses and Aaron because of the hardness of what they had to face. You cannot allow your testimony to change, even when those who are supposed to stand with you and an agreement with you, whether it's a partnership, whether it's a family member, church member, whether it's in a marriage or a friendship, where when you get hit for obeying and doing what God says, and they can't stand or don't like the blow or have not matured or grown in their faith or in their stance or to believe and take that blow and roll it off their back and give back even greater, even violent blow, because we understand and know that the violent suffered. We suffered many violent attacks. The righteous suffered many violent attacks by the enemy, but we give an even greater attack in the spirit, not the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. So what we do, we go in the spirit and we give back the word in a violent way, in an aggressive way, in spiritual warfare, in prayer and faith against the weapons of the enemy, and we tear it down. We use the shield of faith. We dress ourselves in the righteous armor of God, which is Jesus Christ, and we begin to war against the things that come against us. The shield of faith burns up the fiery darts of the enemy. Every lie, every tactic. We don't use carnal weapons. We go in the spirit and we burn it up. So you can't allow the blow to make you start to doubt or go against or hate the place where God is saying, I'm going to do deliverance in your life. I'm going to do a breakthrough. But the enemy's coming to challenge the word. Don't forget that. To keep your covenant. You have to, don't forget to keep your covenant, because what happens is Moses in Exodus 4 and 24 and 26, he forgot to keep the covenant that God gave and his son. He had circumcised one of his sons but did not circumcise the other one. He kept one for the will of God and the other one he kept because of his wife and their traditions. He did not circumcise. And when he did do this, God went after him. But his wife says, you know the covenant. You, in other words, she said, you know the covenant. You know what you're supposed to do. Why haven't you done this? Why would you put us in danger? Don't forget to keep the covenant of the Lord. Whatever he's commanding you to do, do that. Don't fall into the hands of an angry God, because you will not keep the covenant of what he's told you. Live the way he said. Speak, decree, forgive, let him be God, and do all that he's promised and all that he's told you, because he's going to do all that he's promised to do. Your enemies are going to challenge you. Look for that. Look for the challenge. Look for them to challenge you, but know that God has got you. God is going to vindicate you. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life and this empowerment session. I pray that this was a blessing and that you were empowered to go on and know that this battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And if he promised to deliver, he's going to come down and deliver. Join me tomorrow for Favor Life, where we go through the process of there. Be blessed.